In cloud server. Hello and welcome. Come on and log on, folks. We are so glad you're here. We are about 2 minutes, 1 minute from the top, and we're going to get started right away. So as you log on, let us know where you are in from, because we're going to have a really active session. So make some good use of the chat. Find the chat and just pop on and let us know what city you're here from, okay? Just drop it in the chat now, because we're going to have lots of activity here. So tell us where you are here from, please. Bryan, Texas, hi. Hi, Carrie. Chantilly, Virginia, hi, Meg. And Atlanta, Georgia, Los Angeles, hi, Matt. Ashley, hi, Bradenton, Purcellville. Fantastic. Wow, we are truly all in this together. Glendale, California, hi, Matt. Reston, hi, Sacramento, Hot Springs, Arkansas, hi, Claire. All right, and we are at the top of the hour, Detroit, Michigan. Oh my goodness, we've got an amazing community of people here. So I'm gonna share my screen and we're gonna get started. And so we're talking about how and why to reach your federal buyer even during the pandemic. And so Meg, can you see the screen?
We can, your screen looks great.
All right, let's do it. Hi, I'm Judy Bratt, CEO of Summit Insight, and I'm so glad you're here. It's been my pleasure for over 32 years to work with thousands of federal contractors and their buyers in this market and bring people together. So let's get right into it. And let's start with you. One word check-in, please pop it in the chat right now. How are you? Let's take a look and see. How are you doing? One word in the chat, please. Stellar, says Meg. Yes, okay. Great, says Chris. Everybody else, just, we're going to do lots of back and forth in chat. Blessed, busy, terrific, great, safe. Thank you, Christy. Great self-quarantine. Glad to join, John. Good to see you. Praying, yep. Optimistic, thanks, Jenny. So far, so good. You bet. You bet. Home office, Andre. Yep. You got it. All right. And
pessimistic.
All right. We are all doing the best we can. And so I'm actually here today also trying to give and show you some of the experience that you can also create for other people. So I want you to notice the experience that you're having as you go along, and please offer your comments and questions right through the chat. So here, enter questions as you go along, enter comments and feedback. You have lots of questions. One of our speakers has got to go at the top of the next hour, and I and the other will be able to stick around for a while. Take notes, please. You're going to get a follow-up survey. I got behind, so I wanted it to land in your email box as soon as this is finished. Please watch for a survey link tomorrow. I really appreciate your feedback. That email will also have a link to other resources and to the recording. If you have resources that you would like to share with others, please drop those links and resources into the chat. We're going to compile that. Meg, would you do a periodic save of the chat as well, so we really catch it? And so we're going to create a little online community and commend you. If you have a link to a good resource, a website, a handout, we're going to compile those and we're going to share those tomorrow. Okay? So we are really in it together. And you're welcome to book a private follow-up call with me or to contact our speakers as well. So no events, closed offices, teleworking. Now what? What's going to most help you get in front of and build relationships with your federal buyers? Everything changed less than a week ago, and a webinar that was going to be about federal events is now about federal current events. And I feel so fortunate to have amazing friends who step up and said, yes, we can help you help your community. So I'd love for you to meet Anna Ehrman, who as of Monday is now a full-time employee in the Department of State as a senior procurement analyst in the Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. Anna, say hello.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Judy.
It's my official first appearance in my new role, so I'm excited.
Oh, fantastic. And Kristen and I have been friends for more years than I can count. And I have the good fortune of knowing somebody who is also on her professional side, a partner in Arnold and Porter. And Arnold and Porter, of all the law firms in this region, were the very first off the mark to put out a comprehensive compendium on things to pay attention to for government contractors. And as soon as I saw that, it gave me an excuse to pick up the phone and get back in touch with Kristen Ittig, who brings decades of government contracting legal experience. Kristen, hello, and thank you for joining us from your home office.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me, Judy. Glad to be here.
So let's get to it. I'm going to deliver on my promises to you. We're going to be talking about Office of Personnel Management guidelines about federal employees and telework. We'll touch on the key federal acquisition regulations and contract clauses, especially including force majeure, a very fancy term indeed, and what government contractors need to have in place to perform successfully, how to do effective federal business development virtually and right now, 5 ways to thrive and make a positive difference for your buyers and for you, and next wins. So pop in the chat for a moment, please. On a scale of 1 to 10 right now, what's your level of contracting with federal experience right now? Either everything from 1, meaning none, I've not done federal contracting either as a prime or a sub, or I'm gonna be very generous with the 10 and say I've got more than 2 years of experience as a prime contractor. We got 6, 10, 10, 1, 10, 1, 7, 10, 10, 9, 10, 10, 1, 10, 10, 10, 3, 10, 8, 7, 7, 2, 10, 10, 10, 3. Okay, keep putting it in the chat. That gives us some idea, please. I'm going to leave that open for another 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Awesome. All right, that gives us some idea of how to pitch this. Thank you. If for whatever reason, those of you who are a 1, this is for you, and everybody here is going to get a copy of the recording. Make sure that if for some reason federal buyers are calling you for the first time, and you're going, oh boy, great. In addition to processing the order, make sure you get as much information as you can about the people who are buying from you who you've not met for the first time. Get to know who they are and their mission. Look them up online, look them up on LinkedIn, do a little bit of research, and find some time in addition to delivering for them and getting feedback from them. Get some time to get to know who they are and get a sense of what you're getting into. Read, read, read. They can't be buying from you if you're not registered in SAM.gov, but this is the time where you also need to become familiar with the federal acquisition regulations if you are not in touch with your Procurement Technical Assistance Center. Meg, would you drop the PTAC link in the chat, please? Click on the link, find the office near you, get free help. All right, so let's move on then.
Actually, we have at least 2 PTAC counselors on the chat here in our organization, in our webinar.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Yeah, Jan Dean and
Christy Dunn, I think.
Fantastic. And so if you're on, these are all things that you can do. So, and I was doing slides at the last minute. So take notes. There will be a quiz and there's going to be lots of back and forth and polling. Everybody will pass by virtue of participating. We're not giving out prizes for nothing though. So I will definitely be looking for your feedback. So given that everything just changed, we put our heads together, we 3 presenters, and Anna comes to us having been we not only have 2 lawyers, which is to say not me, Anna and Kristen are both lawyers. Anna has also shares my passion as a federal data geek. And she was also the director of the Procurement Technical Assistance Program for Virginia, as well as the director of the Small Business Development Center in Springfield, Virginia. So Anna has counseled thousands of companies in the same way as Kristen has served many, many companies in the government contract space. So these are the 4 things for the what to do next. And let's start, Anna, with what are you seeing as a federal employee? What is the Office of Personnel Management actually telling federal agencies generally? And what are they telling you in State Department right now?
So everything is changing by the hour sometimes. One thing I do in the morning, even though I'm teleworking right now, one thing that I do in the morning is I tell my Alexa,
Oh, I hope I didn't start that right now. Is I tell my audio to turn on the Federal News Network, because that has up-to-date news, not only on procurement and hot things like the Jedi acquisition, but it also has federal employee news. So if you want to listen to all the latest that federal employees are hearing, that's a great resource.
Well, that reminds me, federalnewsnetwork.com is another one. It's Federal News Radio for Geeks, Federal News Network. And so that's another link I'm just putting in the chat now. Okay. Yep.
OPM guidance. Now, another thing that happened yesterday afternoon is that the OPM director resigned. I have no idea if that, I don't know
why?
What that means.
No one knows.
I don't know why. There are some rumors in the media why. You could read that. I don't need to comment on it. But the fact is that something might change yet again. We don't know what that is. So I, as a new federal employee, 2.5 days in, I don't know what that means. But for your customers, the other federal employees, they are feeling some level of uncertainty.
And stress.
Yeah, some of that. Yeah. The OPM guidance is telework to the maximum extent practicable, but each agency is interpreting that, each agency is implementing that in a way that fits with their mission. So who are they determining to be essential personnel? Who could come in when? Can your job be done offsite? What resources do you need to do your job offsite? For example, my supervisor, he needs to sign some documents using a digital certificate with Adobe. If he can't do it from home, he has to go into the office. So there may be some really kind of common sense, if you need to work in a SCIF, you can stay home. But there may be some intermittent things, or they may be coming into the office for some things. Mm-hmm. One thing that is evident, nobody's doing meetings, nobody's doing events or conferences. We're doing a lot more things remotely, mm-hmm. by phone, by video, if possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got it. Whatever maximum feasible telework is, it's really going to vary. It's going to depend by agency. Some folks required a formal telework agreement to already be in place. Others may be scrambling to get that done. And there, you can expect modifications for the current situation. I have a family member at home who is a federal employee, and we have to have our own, we have to remember who's working and who's not, and when declare when lunch break is. This is new for us. Some folks are able to do a job remotely, some are not. Some may decide that they are going to use their personal mobile phone. Some folks may be leaving their mobile phone number on their regular voicemail. Right now, phone is so important. Phone is your friend. And there's a lot of reasons why, with an inability to do in-person meetings or events, even those of us who are, for whom phone calls are not our favorite thing, they're really, really important. So, Anna, who wants to hear from federal vendors right now?
If you have an active contract, if you're performing right now, your contracting officer, your end user, your program office, they want to make sure that you're able to deliver the work that you have under contract. So I don't want to say over-communicate, because since email and phone is the only way for us to keep track of things, you don't want to flood that. But certainly be proactive in what you share, in what you communicate, how you're getting your things done, what your team is doing, what are your delivery schedules. If anything does need to shift, let your customer know ahead of time so that they can work with you and document everything.
Mm-hmm. Let them know how to reach you, and be aware that things are going to change. You might want to set up a regularly scheduled, just situational check-in if you don't have that already with the contracts that you've got. Anything else, Kristen, coming up for you?
I think the importance of communication really can't be overemphasized here. For the FAR clauses that we're going to talk about later, it's going to be equally important for contract compliance that you engage in those communications. But I think setting up a pattern of being transparent and being open with the contracting officer so they know what to expect from you as a contractor is key here.
Right. Some of your resources within your company may change, where how you can get to your people. And if you are supposed to be working on site or your contract requires you to have access to federal offices, federal employees, federal resources, that may change your ability to perform as well. So things are shifting on both sides. And so the sooner, if you haven't been able to touch base, the sooner you can get a sense of what's the new normal this week and expect that things are going to continue to change. So don't be surprised. Your end users want to hear from you too. But remember, this is also a time to think about who are the people that you have been in touch with who might not be customers yet, but they're contacts. There are a few people that you've been working with, you've been in touch with. So they've just had their world rocked as well, but their lives are carrying on. And so this is also, as the dust settles, a time that you can build relationship and connection with them. Check in with them as human beings. How are they doing? What's new? How are you feeling? What's challenging for you right now? Just ask. Set aside whatever it was that you thought you were going to talk about on the next call. Stay in touch. Do a reset. Be thinking about if you were in their office, if you were in their shoes, what would you be most concerned about right now? Brainstorm that for maybe you've got about half a dozen to a dozen really critical people or people you've really want that have been high on your list, people you've been developing relationships with. What's changed for them? How can you be helpful for them right now? What's their mission? Are they facing challenges in the acquisition process? And what could be challenging for them personally or professionally, depending on how well you know them? Your federal contacts and buyers are human beings too. They've got kids, they've got pets, they've got parents. They may have family members in Canada that just got the border closed on them. Be sensitive to that, but be thinking about, all right, what could I bring to the table? How could I make their lives a little easier right now? And Anna, small business specialists, they still have goals to meet, right?
Absolutely.
What kinds of, but still, hi, it's an emergency. I'm a small business. You should feed me. No. So what kinds of things represent constructive conversations right now with small business specialists, and what's a good way to reach them?
So now and always, the better, more specific a question that proves that you've done some homework and understand the agency's mission, we want to get those questions all the time. Now, I may not be able to get to it right now because I'm busy trying to figure out how to log into a system that I need to log into to get you an answer, or a contracting officer may not be available. But it's our job to help industry understand how to work with government. Right now, some agencies that are at the forefront of dealing with the coronavirus outbreak, the agencies that have the law enforcement or the health missions, they may be buying more of the products and services that they have been bought before, but in larger quantities. They may be looking for different location or different vendors. If they are asking for vendors, if they're looking for their OSDIB offices to help them with market research, kind of spur of the moment, be easy to be found, be reachable. You may want to send a note to the OSDIB office specifically how you could help them, you know, with a capability statement attached. It's between being really helpful and spamming. For example, today in my inbox, I got an email saying, hi, comma, in addition to selling surgical equipment, we now sell disinfectant. You've bought from us in the past. Here's our capability statement. Well, no, our office has not bought that in the past. But if you were to say that the State Department Medical Bureau, which usually sources these things, and I would love to get in front of them, that's a different conversation. That shows me that you understand who within State Department needs it and where can I route you to easier and faster.
Mm-hmm. Someone who's a former contracting officer who's on the line here has also dropped a note in the chat that construction contracts will have both a contracting officer and the contracting officer's representative or technical representative, and that's the end user representative, and both of those are important to you. Karen notes that contracting officers we've been in touch with, and Karen offers medical equipment supplies, says they're all swamped dealing with their jobs and COVID-19, and they prefer not to be contacted. Everybody's different. If you touch base, you'll get a sense of what's going to be helpful for people right now. So contracts matter. Actually,
can I go back a second? Yep. Another thing, hopefully, everybody cross your fingers, this is a blip. There are still major requirements. There are still enterprise-wise IT efforts. There are major program management and ongoing missions of the agencies that will need to be supported. Even mm-hmm. though things are on pause, mm-hmm. Don't lose track of the big picture. And when things pick up closer to Q4, it will be at a rapid pace, and you can't afford then to start dusting off your business processes. You need to be on top of it right now.
Right. And we're going to be talking more about business processes and business development in a few minutes. So Kristen and Anna, both, we spent some time looking at contracts and FARs. So Kristen, talk to us a little bit about FAR clauses. You can't play the game without the rules, and the rules are there to protect everybody. So take us through some of these things.
Great. Thanks, Judy. And I'd like to tie this into what we were just talking about with being in touch with your COTAR and your contracting officer regarding the issues that come up. And it's certainly important to be in contact with both of those individuals, but very important that if you are looking for any sort of change or adjustment to your contract, that the person you have to have authority from is the contracting officer. The contracting officer is the person who is authorized to bind the government. The COTAR is not. And although you can have you need to work through the COTAR, it'll be important that if there are modifications to your contract, that they are approved by the contracting officers. So just to start off there with making sure that we're dealing with the person who's got authority to bind the government. Then as we start to look at the federal acquisition regulation clauses, there is an anticipation in the FAR that there might be things like this that come up. Although this is an unprecedented set of circumstances right now, the FAR clauses anticipate that there can be delays in contracts due to epidemics, due to quarantine situations. These are in fact scenarios that are specifically envisioned in the relevant FAR clauses. And so if there is going to be a delay to your contract, and that delay is beyond the contractor's control, then that can be an excused delay. We've listed here the two FAR clauses that are most likely applicable, FAR 249.14 or for commercial contracts 212-4, and it's subsection F. It's important to recognize that delays might be excused, but they are only excused when they arise from causes that are solely beyond the contractor's control. And the contractor is going to be going to need to demonstrate to the agency and maybe to a Board of Contract Appeals that in fact the delay that incurred in the contract performance was in fact due to the COVID issues and not to other issues. And so if there are other supply chain issues that would have otherwise prevented performance, or other issues that are separate from COVID-19 that would have delayed performance, that could be a reason for the contractor not to be able to recover under these clauses. So very important from the beginning to one, communicate to your contracting officer when you anticipate that a delay will occur, and then also to let your contracting officer know when it ends. You've got to mitigate that to the greatest extent possible. So if you are getting all of your paper supplies from one source and that source is not available because of the COVID-19 outbreak, but you can find another supply source, you are to look for that other source and to mitigate your damages there. And then you really need to be very careful to document everything. So if the reason that you can't perform the contract is that you're not allowed to have access to Fort Belvoir, then you've got to document that the reason that the person did not work that day was because they could not get access to Fort Belvoir and not, you know, some other reason. So very important to contemporaneously document all of the reasons for any delay that occurs. Taking a breath for a second there, then we would move to if there is a stop work order or suspension of work that occurs, that can also be compensable. Keep in mind that, as others have noted, contracting officers are very busy trying to do their regular jobs and deal with all of the COVID issues. They might not actually issue a suspension of work order, or might not issue a stop work order, and might just perhaps have a denied access to a facility or some other sort of de facto suspension of work. You'll need to, again, be in communication with the contracting officer about that and make sure that you are documenting all of the reasons for any delay that occurs based on that either explicit or de facto stop work or suspension of work.
Really important. That's really valuable. Thanks, Kristen. Now, contracts may change. There may be modifications, changes. If you agree that you're doing something different, it's not just a handshake that you can't actually have. You've actually got to write this stuff down. So take us through change clauses, Kristen. What do you have to keep in mind and what's important?
Right. So the first thing is to figure out what changes clause exists in your contract. There are a number of different clauses, and you'll want to go find your contract, look up the changes clause, and be sure that you're familiar with what exactly that clause requires. But when there is either an explicit or implicit change to the work that you're doing, you've either got to deliver faster, deliver differently, do something that is in addition to the normal scope of work in your contract, you're going to want to document that and provide notice, generally within 30 days, to the contracting officer that you are going to seek an adjustment for that change. So again, just like it's the same thing that we've been hitting on throughout this presentation, be in communication with your contracting officer, document what has happened, have codes as necessary in your system to account for these changes, and then seek the contracting officer's direction on how you should proceed. It could be that the contracting officer doesn't realize that they're issuing what is in effect a change and doesn't want you to proceed, or that they don't recognize the scope of it. So it's important to be in communication from the beginning about what has changed and what the impact, what you expect the impact to be.
Got it. Okay. What about emergency acquisitions? This is a big deal. This is exactly the very definition of an emergency. So what parts of the FAR do we really need to be aware of for that?
Right. A couple different places to look. When there is a declared emergency like there is right now, FAR Part 18 can come into play, and there are some additional flexibilities that might be possible. For instance, in most instances, contractors have to be registered in SAM before they can have a government contract. That can be waived. There's usually a requirement that a synopsis notice has to be published of a potential acquisition. That can be waived. Competition requirements can be waived, and other qualifications. So there's good and bad in that, right? Because you might not know about the opportunities that are arising. On the other hand, if you are well positioned to perform on one of those opportunities, you might be able to get things to happen very quickly. So that's one thing to think about. Another that we didn't put in this slide here, it would be to think about the Stafford Act and FAR 26.2, which deals with emergency response contracts. Can be limited to local firms and firms that are in certain emergency areas. So certainly FAR 26.2 is another area to think about. And then finally, we just wanted to raise very briefly here the Defense Priorities and Allocation System, DPAS. There are contracts that are rated as DPAS rated contracts. That's on the front page of your contract. You can know for certain whether you've got a rated or rated contract or not, because it's right on the front page. But if you do have a rated contract, then those orders have to take priority over other orders, even if the other orders were first in your order of receiving the receipt. You've got to prioritize those rated orders. And importantly, hopefully you have all, if you do have a rated order, you've already flowed down those rated order requirements to your subcontractors so that they know that they need to supply you more quickly than other orders because of the rating there. Arnold and Porter is my law firm, as Judy mentioned, and we are publishing an advisory, I think this afternoon or tomorrow on the DPAS system. So I will send to Judy and she can send to you all our write-up on the DPAS system in case there are folks got questions about that.
And I've just put into the chat as well a link to the Arnold and Porter blog post that originally got my attention. And so that'll take you to the Arnold and Porter website and you can roam around and see some of the other good resources there. Anna Ehrman has also put into, I feel so supported, I have lawyers on both sides of me. Anna has also put in a link to the information on the Stafford Act, FAR 26.2, FARs I never open. God. I'm going to learn things. How scary. Take us through, Kristen, a little bit about other transactional authorities.
Right. So we talked about flexibility in contracting and the government right now in seeking to fulfill needs on a very expedited basis, particularly in the health and human services context, sometimes needs even more flexibility than is available through FAR Part 18 and some of the other FAR provisions. And in some instances, we expect that we'll see the government agencies who have the authority to do so using other transactions agreements. Other transactions agreements, OTAs, are contracts, but they're not FAR-based contracts. They are different from the FAR and generally are much more flexible and allow the government to do things on an expedited basis without necessarily using all of the same clauses that we would see in a FAR-based contract. OTAs have been on the rise for the last few years, particularly at DOD. And so we've seen a lot of that, but I expect that we will see a good many more utilizations of OTA authority at HHS and NIH as they seek to address the COVID issue.
Fantastic. And we're just dropping a few links about other transactional authorities into the chat as well if you want to get that live, and we're going to try to compile them for tomorrow.
Super. And those are all available on the A&P website as well if there is interest in learning more about OTAs.
Great. All right. So for sure, you want to be able to read any solicitations carefully. In short, you want to be able to look at the implications for supply chain and the Trade Agreements Act. We're just touching on a few of these things. There's lots to learn. Understand that you need to be ready for post-pandemic performance and financial audits. Remember that your federal buyer has everything on the line when they choose you. And that also includes a full expectation of a lot of scrutiny from government, from media, from watchdogs, from tiger teams. Did the right thing happen? Was fair and reasonable pricing extended to the government? So document, document, document. Be absolutely scrupulous. If you've been meaning to get around to improving your operational and financial documentation, make this an extra benefit of the time you're going to be spending doing things that you didn't expect. Be scrupulous, be ready for extra scrutiny of everything that you're doing and the way that you are performing and the way that you are contracting. Other considerations, simplified acquisition thresholds, which about 2 years ago were raised to $250,000, can be increased so that government buyers can purchase higher values of goods and services and under less restrictive conditions. Contracting officers have a tremendous amount of flexibility that they will use at their own discretion. So the good news is that if you have a product, a service, or a solution that government needs, it is possible that the rules may permit them, your buyers, to get those things really easily. Downside, remember as well, you have competitors. Your competitors who have strong relationships and good communications may also be winning business that otherwise you might have hoped or dreamed or expected might come to you. So be aware that it cuts both ways. Everybody with me? Yes?
And if you become an expert or at least have a good hold of the acquisitions and the proper citations, print those out and give those to your customers. If they are scratching their head figuring out how to get something done and make their lives easier and award something that you may be in line for, point it out to them how they could actually execute it.
Mm-hmm. Be able to say how you can solve a problem and how they can get to you. The former head of Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business at Utilization at Veterans Affairs, Tom Lenny, used to say the four questions they always have in mind are, do I know you? Do I like you? Do I trust you? And how can I get to you? And that's the vehicles piece. So those are four pretty good questions to keep in mind all the time. And so remember as well, FAR Part 6.302-2 is your friend. That is where you can find the specific list of procurement by other than full and open competition, which is FAR speak for sole source. It will also show you the long list of things that your buyer has to do if they do purchase on a sole source. You may think sole source is easy for you. It often leaves them with extra accountability, extra work, and extra risk if they screw up. They so don't want to screw up. You're dealing with real human beings that have everything on the line, their careers, their retirement salary, their financial security, their ability to send their kids to a good college based on did they get that promotion, based on did they do it right. So think about that. You're thinking about your buyer who's choosing you.
Who's also spending large amounts of our taxpayer dollars. So you want them to make good decisions.
Yeah, exactly. Things beyond the FAR. Anna, you had put together some general things that we're all going to have to keep a look at. Anything in particular that you want to be talking about here?
In fact, somebody posted it in the chat earlier about the emergency FMLA expansion. Mm-hmm. You are not just bound by the FAR. There are other laws and regulations that govern how your company needs to operate and what you need to do as an employer, as an entity of a particular jurisdiction. So pay attention to that and what you need to follow in order to function as a business during this time.
Mm-hmm.
There are some resources and some relief that the Small Business Administration has, including some loans for small businesses affected by the coronavirus, and they're updating that on an ongoing basis. So that link should stay, but the resources on there should change as they're updated.
All right. And before we talk about business development, I want to pause because Kristen has a hard stop at the top of the hour. If you have a very specific legal issues question, I want to invite you to pop that in the chat right now so that we can get that addressed before the top of the hour. So remember, I asked you to write things down. That's why. So if you have a really specific legal question, we're going to watch for those in the chat, and Meg's going to make sure that I pay attention. In the meantime, I have something to reveal. Anna is a dog person. I'm a cat person. All right. So Anna and I were collaborating, and Anna put pictures of dogs here. Okay. So that's why there are dogs, but we're all collaborating in these times now. So that's why there are pictures of dogs. All right. Those of you who are wondering, I'm a cat person. Why are there dogs? That's why we're all getting along. See?
One thing that I do as a human being, besides the Govy hat, I also volunteer in dog rescue. So that's my opportunity to remind folks to, you know, adopt and volunteer. So
I was at the animal shelter in Alexandria. I was walking home, and they said lots of people were adopting pets, and you can also foster pets. There may be people who can't take care of them. So, and actually this is relevant, and we're going to talk about that more in a few minutes, of all the different ways to help. One of the things that people were asking is, what does business development look like now? Anybody receive emails from suppliers you forgot you bought something from recently? Yeah. So we're all being flooded with email. If you're going to send an email, make yours stand out. What are you going to do that's tasteful, useful, and different in some way? Anna, Kristen, are there any particular things that are standing out for you that somebody might keep in mind when they're trying to work with email as a way to stay in touch with their federal buyers?
I think the same things that apply at any point, right? Make your communication clear, put your bottom line up front, and make sure that you're explaining to the customer how you can be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Short is good. I find it really hard to write. I didn't have time to write you a short email, so I wrote you a long one. Yeah.
Right.
Some of my friends who put in many, many, many hours on the weekend putting together a few short points. If your buyer has time to read your stuff at all, do a few things, space them out. You don't need to try and dump your head out onto the email and cover everything. Leave lots of white space, make it easy. So virtual events and conferences. Anna, you had left us some points here. What's top of mind for you that people should be thinking about right now?
So your target audience still has goals to meet, and that could be their professional development and the CEUs. Mm-hmm. That could be for small business offices. It's the number of events and the number of small business meetings that they have to participate in. Mm-hmm. Since we can't physically leave our homes or offices, those are going to cyberspace. Those are going to be virtual. So where are some good quality events that you could either host or participate in where you think your customers are flocking to? Mm-hmm. Those are... those should be good resources and opportunities to meet with and exchange ideas and collaborate substantively. Mm-hmm. For example, our chat box is blowing up with some really great questions, and we see everybody's names, and you could have a private conversation. Mm-hmm. Where else can you use this substantive engagement? Who even on this chat is asking the kind of questions or sharing the kind of information that you want to follow up on? And maybe there's a way for you to start building something with that person on there.
Mm-hmm. And remember, a term just floated by here. I want to go back to the concept of continuing education. Lots and lots of government employees have multiple professional certifications. They need to participate in continuing education. If you and your business don't provide right now continuing education of some kind, take a step back and think about it. What continuing education could you possibly offer a federal buyer or you use your community that you hadn't before? You're going to have some unusual circumstances to deal with, but you're going to have extra time will open up that to do things that you hadn't managed to get around to or hadn't even thought of. So do consider what kind of continuing education you could contribute. Anna, you were talking about industry groups and how somebody can lend a hand or share subject matter expertise. Got a specific example you're thinking of that's top of mind?
So not in particular. It's still very early on. Things are still being canceled and not yet rescheduled. Mm-hmm. But if you are active in a particular industry group, I'm just going to pick ACT-IAC. It's a big one for IT community. There are committees that are probably meeting. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're looking for a topic, or maybe there is a topic. Offer to lead something. If it's a well-known organization for industry and government, everybody wants to stay in touch. Being alone in your office with a cup of coffee is going to get really old for all these BD extroverts pretty soon. How do you stay on top of what's going on in your industry, in your community? Take the lead, and being in charge of something like an outreach or a conference focusing on category management for healthcare products. I'm just making stuff up. Mm-hmm. If you are calling on or emailing a buyer, asking them to speak or asking them to contribute to a particular topic, that gives you a window to speak to them in a conversation that's not about you, that's not about sales, that's about them. That exposes you in a whole different light to them that may be beneficial down the road.
Absolutely. And for example, as well, if you happen to be an expert on distance learning, on using Zoom for effective communication, I was at the Small Business Committee meeting of the Armed Forces Communications and Electronics Association, AFCEA, and that meeting was scantily attended at best, and the government speaker said, this will be my last public appearance for an extended period. So we were lucky to be in the room all sitting 6 feet apart from each other. But one of the things that they were suddenly thinking about was, well, gee, could we do this meeting on a platform like Zoom? And a lot of the telework or conferencing platforms have different tools, all of which we're not going to be using on this one. In addition to chat, there are other kinds of things like a breakout rooms, for example. So the features, if you already know how to skillfully run a sophisticated, high engagement meeting using some of these features, then volunteer to be able to go and adapt a scheduled event or something like that, or to share expertise. We pop over to social media. I'm not even going to make you guess right now. Write the number down. All right, write it down. 2.1 million federal employees are on LinkedIn, 2.1 million. If you're not already using LinkedIn as a place to better get to know people you're in touch with, or even as a more primary earlier stage market research tool, you can and should be. Even if your federal buyer doesn't accept a connection request, you can see that they're there, you can see who else they are connected with, and you can see where they gather and what groups they're in. So pay attention to where your people are listening, who's sharing, like things, share things. LinkedIn is a really great platform. And there's another one I'm going to talk about in a moment that is a social media platform that has a lot of government people on it, but vendors are also welcome. Last thing on this slide, people are always asking, where are the micro purchases, guys? Micro purchases, the purchases for things that can be done under $10,000, the vast majority of those things are coming up from a conversation. They're not going to be, if it's showing up and it's posted, somebody got there before you. So be in touch with people, find out what they're doing, how you can help them, and be ready to think about what small things you could do for somebody that you could do for less than $10,000. Have ideas. You're not going to dump an idea list on somebody, but you can watch for quick or smaller dollar procurements as well. It's quite possible that suddenly buyers are going to need a lot of stuff. So you might want to watch this, the beta.sam.gov contract opportunities feed a little more closely than you did otherwise, but don't spend all your time chasing them. Your time is often better spent talking to people who already know you, like you, trust you. People who know you are 12 times more likely to buy from you than somebody who's never heard of you. I'm going to say that again. Somebody who already knows you and has purchased from you is 12 times more likely to do business with you. Sandra wants to know, is the micro purchase limit likely to be raised? Watch that space. Simplified acquisition rules are often expanded in times of disaster response and emergency. So pay attention. And anything else on the slide?
There are different micro purchase limits for emergency acquisitions and for CBRNE and things like that. That's in the FAR already. Mm-hmm. A couple of points, if I may. As far as the micro purchases, look at past history will give you a good idea of which offices are positioned to do micro purchases based on what's been done before. Look at FPDS or USA Spending. See the extent competed value. And if it says SAP, that's Simplified Acquisitions Process, and you see the value that is small, under $10,000, you know that that was probably a micro purchase. So that's looking at the historical data to give you an idea of who are your low-hanging fruit kind of buyers.
And Anna and I are now deep in the geeky stuff. And the webinar I was planning on giving on third week of April would be all about digging in federal data, and I think we're still going to do that. All right. Right. So
the other point on that, look at the reverse auctions, FedBid, FedConnect. Those are low-dollar things. Those are mostly for small businesses, and they go pretty quickly.
And we've got link. We've got a slide with other links and resources just a little later in this webinar, so no worries. Keep calm. Do market research. I know that almost everybody on this webinar has had somebody in a federal agency say, do your homework, and you just want to tear your hair out when they say that one more time. We're going to be real specific about what some of those things should be in the next couple of slides and in some of the next steps. So right now, welcome to the week, Everything Changed. I'm going to offer five tips to thrive, and we're going to get on to some next wins and resources. So in thinking about what are the things you can be doing now, you need to be able to stand out and make sure they see you even when those events got canceled, right? So here's some thoughts. Remember, those events will be back. I want to point out, if you're not familiar with govloop.com, and I want to shout out, I was walking my talk this morning. I was having conversations with people that were going to be about one thing and turned into be, hi, how are you doing? Checking in conversations. And I had extraordinarily generous, thoughtful, creative conversations with people. And so a shout out today to Mark Kunzman at Shootsta.com, who does video for training and communication. So take a look at his site, just because he was thoughtful enough to remind me about a site I knew I needed to remind you about, and that was GovLoop. GovLoop is a social media site that is primarily for federal employees, but as a vendor, you can go on there and see. I want to see if I can pop over and do a quick share so you can see, but they are listing best government conferences and events, which is very cool and extremely helpful. So I'm going to pop over to my browser, and there's the Arnold and Porter site, and I'm going to pop over to best government conferences. There we go. And so GovLoop itself, really helpful. You can see live and online training, that you can see their online resources, news and blog posts. What are government employees saying to each other? This is social media for govies. They have a daily awesome. They are talking to each other. They're going to be talking here about pain and solutions. So Meg, if you would drop GovLoop into the chat, it's a great resource and you have every reason to get to take advantage of it there. Okay. I'm going to pop back over to the PowerPoint now. And so events will be back. Some will pop up in place of ones that aren't going to happen. So be ready to consider an event you might not otherwise have gone to. And some of them, the ship will have sailed. GSA's event in Atlanta that was going to be happening in April, that is so not happening. And it was a lot of years coming back. It was really disappointing. But consider an alternative marketing mix. If you've got to repurpose that money, where could it be put to good use? It may be that you're going, you know, these events we've been going to, we haven't been getting a great return on investment on them anyway. All right. So stop and think about that, because your phone can be the single most powerful tool you've got. I want to encourage you to pinpoint a few specific buyers and contacts, people who've bought from you or people you've submitted a proposal to, people you've been corresponding with, people who haven't bought anything yet, but you've been getting to know them. Rather than going, oh good, how many massive email campaigns can I dump on the street? Go deep. Find this week maybe 5. If you really figure out some good keep in touch strategies to reconnect with them, add another 5. But start small and keep in touch with them. Start with a check-in phone call or an email. Again, connect with them on LinkedIn or see what's happening. On LinkedIn, our friend Mark Amtower, the national leader in leveraging LinkedIn for federal, connect with him or follow him, see the resources he's got. He offers training. And I mean, I did a half hour course with him last year that just woke me up again and reminded me of how powerful LinkedIn is for your profile, for connecting, for getting your thought leadership out there. Focus on what's happening with people right now. Take a step back from whatever was on your to-do list of, oh, I must ask them about this feature or this program, or I want to sell this thing. Sandra wanted to know, who's that person against? Mark Amtower, A-M-T-O-W-E-R. Meg, if you can pop his LinkedIn profile in the chat, that'd be great. Leave a cheerful voicemail. Your voicemail is the chance to have maybe 30 uninterrupted seconds of somebody's ear time, somebody's head time. Be caring. Be energetic, be cheerful. One of our other friends, Dottie Roma, a former contracting officer and is now just back and working in government again, she said, you would not believe the voicemails people have. Hi, it's Cheryl. This is my voicemail again. You haven't called me. Please call me. Really? Who would call back in response to that? Think about the most cheerful, energetic, caring voicemail that you can leave. And leave that one. Say when you're going to call back. You may not be able to reach somebody at their office. They may be able to offer a mobile number where you can reach them. One of my other friends and clients, Elena Yearly, EMY Consulting, she does compliance and risk management. Last year's government shutdown, 35 days, she left a message for somebody at Housing and Urban Development, not wanting anything, just, hi, it's Elena. Just wanted to let you know I'm thinking of you. I hope you're okay. That was it. But it was personal. It was heartfelt. Months later, that person came running down the hallway and she was at an industry outreach saying, thank you for your message. That meant so much to me. Listen, we need to talk. I really need you. You know, this stuff is real. This is a great time as well. If you are working with a contracting officer or a government employee and and somebody did something great for you, they provided helpful information, They provided guidance on how to put together a correct invoice. Take a step back right now. Find out who their manager is. Write that thank you letter. What a great time to do that. Boy, could everybody use a Lyft right now? Yeah, they can. What a great time to do something that is kind and thoughtful. Share useful, appropriate links and resources. This is a time when you're thinking about, well, how well do I know them? What conversations have I had with them about what they do when they're not working? Do they have a dog that they take to agility training? Hey, are they somebody that was interested in that conversation we had about Anna, indoor rock climbing, something Anna and I now discover we like to do together. Share appropriate links and resources for effective teleworking, for dealing with families and stress. If there are things that have been personally helpful for you, no, sure. You may be moving into slightly unusual territory. You're going to have to use your instincts, but connect with people a little more deeply as human beings and what's going on with them right now, as well as your technical solutions for, hey, I think if you're working on this mission or this program, it might affect it this way. Here's some things that we've been doing in industry to deal with this kind of situation. So share a good volume, a good interval. Collaborate with folks. In addition to saying, hey, I want to offer a webinar on next, when you're talking to them, you can say, hey, do you think that somebody in your office would appreciate a 2-minute video on this or collaborate on that? We've got a great link here from Neutral Posture, great tips to set up a home office workspace. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. This is a great time. I want to say thank you to Sandra Davis from Echo Resource Group. She and I were having a conversation half an hour before we were going live on the air, and I was throwing my slides together, and I love the thing she said, be the calm you wish to see in the world. Sandra's in Washington State, which was one of the first states to be affected. And what a great way to think about moving through the world right now. And so I love the idea. We want to share positive energy, positive stories, positive resources, things that can be helpful. So right now, this is my offer, my request. You drop in the chat right now if you've got a resource of some kind, whether it's a government thing, something about regulatory advice, something about working from home, something about managing your government contracts. Please drop those in the chat. We'll put those together and share those out tomorrow. As well, brainstorm on your team. Share information about resources from other vendors, people whose products or services complement yours, things that your federal buyer or contact might need. What resources or vendors can you suggest that they might also be looking for? Think about what their lives or their program, their missions, their offices are like right now. Have a short list. Get ready to share it. I love this quote from Mr. Rogers. When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. Federal employees, of any group of people, you're going to find 99.9% are in government because they love to serve. You as business owners, that's most of you on this call, you have a lot of places that you could go to win work and build your business. You choose to serve those who serve. You choose to be in government business in the federal arena. And that means you also have that strong common value of service. And are you seeing it now? Once you get past regulatory advice and restrictions and communications, I'm seeing this extraordinary upwelling of generosity, of people who are helping others, who are stopping to share resources. Meg Kearns, our social media lead, who's on the line right now, is offering online learning for nearly 1,000 people. Meg, what are you doing? Meg's off mic right now. And she's getting ready for her broadcast. She's offering online learning for nearly 1,000 young students. And so I want to encourage you to be generous. Buddy up with another company, share leads, share opportunities, share introductions. There's nothing like thinking about who can you be helpful for setting aside what's the most immediate thing that I wanted to sell, build the relationship, because people will always remember how you made them feel. So think about how you can be a good neighbor. Sandra's offering mini consultations to small businesses on continuity of operation. Another company, Ryan Dice, who does Digital Marketer Lab, I put something in my LinkedIn feed. They're opening up their entire digital library of digital marketing tools right now for free. I'm offering consultations to companies as well. So your next wins. We put together some suggestions because when most immediate compliance requirements and adjustments are done, we're going to have a few weeks with some extra time. This is your time to go and touch back on the regulatory citations that you've heard us talk about today. Read the rule book, laws, regulations, get buff. How are you looking as good as you can in your materials, your online profiles, your business cards? I need new business cards too. I'm going to get them done finally. Analyze opportunities, look into the past contract data, which is my favorite place to be, which is why I'm going to be talking about data really soon. Do the deep dive. The agencies all have strategic plans. Did you know that? If your federal agency has a strategic plan, you haven't looked at it. You're missing the source of the language they use, the priorities they have, often an additional treasure trove of deep contacts you won't find anywhere else. Get that done as well. Identify, looking at past contract data, again, at anticipating who might be great teaming partners for you. Anna has put together these resource pages. And so these are all in the slide deck, and we're going to put together the linked version of it for you over the next day or so. But making sure that you're reading the rules, some great be prepared things to look at in terms of ways to optimize your profile. And look at that, a fantastic compendium of past, present, and future data resources. If you always wanted to have all of these in one place or you use them, now you've got them. Great resources for internal capture planning. We've got 3 webinars worth of stuff here. I just want to show these resources to you and give you the chance to pop up. Jim's talking about Fast Rope. Elise, you wanted to go back to the resources page. We're going to have all of these in the handouts. I want to pause and just say, based on all of this, I want to ask in the chat, what one thing do you commit to trying today? Based on the ideas that you're seeing, what one commitment are you going to make based on the time that you spent here to make a difference? Continuing education, says Andre. Great. Jim points out a rope link to Fast Rope. Terrific. What else? Reaching out to your buyer to ask how they are. Right on, Kim. Reaching out on LinkedIn, says Claire. Writing a thank you letter, says Eddie. You do that. John's going to pick one sad boo and call him. Excellent. Call people. Plan to review 1 to 2 new resources daily. Be a good neighbor. Checking in on your elderly neighbors. Checking in, says Jenny. Agreed and write on thank you notes. Buff up my website, says Heidi. And offer self-help meeting planning. Yeah, Heidi does meeting planning. A big shout out to Heidi Colby on that one. Call people and encourage. Sandra's going to get those emails out with our offer. You bet you are. Call people and encourage. Michael's going to look for avenues to be helpful to leads. Be helpful to your competitors as well. We're all in this together. How fantastic. So people will forget what you did. People will forget what you said. But people will always remember how you made them feel. That's Dr. Maya Angelou. This is the time that people will always remember how you made them feel. I have something for you. This time next week, next Wednesday, the second edition of my book, Government Contracts Made Easier, will go on sale for 50% off. But right now, you can get chapter 1 of the book for free in a PDF. The link is in the chat, growfedbiz.com/book. 1 week from today, we are so excited about this. We're going to be, if you grab the one chapter of the book, you'll not only get this chapter on strategy, but everybody who grabs a chapter will invite you to a 3-hour special live stream we're going to do. And you'll get the reminder to get the book at 50% off cover on launch day, which is just 7 days from today. So that is something I've been looking forward to sharing with you. And even though everything else turned upside down, this is still happening. So please go to growfedbiz.com/book and get your free chapter one. I'm so excited. We are fully open for questions. Kristen does not have much time, so the legal questions first. Anybody got legal questions, pop them in the chat right away. Anna and I can stay for a little bit longer. So anybody
I'm fine on timing.
You're okay, great. All right, so questions. We are wide open for questions. Anything about the business development, about what's going on in federal agencies, about FARs and DFARs, all of those things. We are here for your questions. That's why we show up, actually. This is the fun part. So please type them in.
Should we scroll through the chat to see what's been posted so far?
Yeah. Let's see. What do we got? Looking for Meg. We've got questions thread from the thing here. Let's see. We've got one about, not specifically about emergency, but we've got a question here. Anyway, has the FAR addressed the CMMC requirements for small business yet? Cybersecurity maturity model. Anything else, Kristen, any outlook on CMMC that you know of?
No, I can't say that I have an update on that, no.
Oh, hey, I actually might have one. Go ahead. What were you thinking?
CMMC is not in the FAR, so right now it's just a DoD directive.
There is a webinar that Armed Forces Communications and Electronics event is holding, and I'm going to post the link to that. Sure enough, questions answered. Cybersecurity maturity model. Okay, that's happening tomorrow. All right, if you've got questions about CMMC, so I'm just going to pop that over here. All right, a free for all. I love it. Elise wants to know, is there any training on how to conduct research on past contract data through FPDS and USA spending? Elise, did I ask you to tell me this? This is a fantastic question. It makes me so happy to be able to provide a little bit of expertise for you on that. We're going to be talking about it a little bit next month in a webinar. I also do a private program called Federal Procurement Data Experience. That being said, I'm going to admit I'm not the only person on the planet who teaches this. Your Procurement Technical Assistance Center, all of them offer some degree of expertise and training on how to tap past federal contract data. Okay, so I'm going to put the Procurement Technical Assistance Center link in the chat right now. And you can find the Procurement Technical Assistance Center closest to you, and almost all of them offer some degree of training on that. If you would like to get invited to the session on data or resources, just put the word data in the chat, and I'll make sure you get invited to and get information on federal procurement data training. It is one of the single most valuable ways to get better focus, choose more closely where you're going to be marketing, lower your proposal costs, and win work faster. I cannot say enough about the power of tapping past federal contract data. Yes, look at all those data people. I'm loving it. President of the United States invokes Defense Production Act. Okay, that sounds like breaking news from Lynn Graham. All righty. Let's see here. Any other questions that we've got? 3-4 new messages here. Lots of people want data. Thank you very much. Popping back over to PowerPoint and slides. CPARs, are there any contractors having challenges with the CPARs site and having clients submit reports there? Anybody got any insight on contractor past performance data and reporting? Anything? Okay. Got it. I'm trying to see. Oh, yeah. I had another resource that I wanted to pop up. The Small Business Administration also had, I'm going to pop this up here, there it went. Small Business Administration had a frequently asked questions handout that looked like it was somewhat useful. My hat tip to Jaime Garcia for posting that was last week. So there's some general stuff on coronavirus. And so this has probably been superseded. Some of these, again, stuff on FAR clauses. And I love this. There is a section here. Who can I contact in the Small Business Administration if I have questions about coronavirus on my federal contract? The Procurement Center representatives. a special group of employees in the Small Business Administration are able to help you. And so I'm going to post that here as well. And PCR Directory Online, I'm just going to post that link just because you are here, because you're here, so you get extra stuff. All right. There we go. All right. Other questions? Other questions? Let's see here. Evan wants to know, have the requirements for past performance number of years been increased beyond 3 or 5? Anybody?
That's RFP by RFP. There's no okay. There's no one size fits all answer to past performance.
Okay, got it. Any other questions that we've got online right now? I want to do a closing check in right now. What one word sums up how you're feeling that the value you got from being here. So we'd love to get one word feedback right now from you. Inspired, sisters. Relief, fantastic. Informed, gratitude, motivated. Thank you.
A lot of forces American industries.
You got live breaking news. Optimistic, energized, connected.
Critical supplies and equipment. Listen to what he said.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Data is data. Practical, informative, grateful. Thank you so much. Gratitude's a thing. One word, helpful, insightful. Thank you. I really value your feedback. You're here, and I would really appreciate you keeping a lookout along with the handouts tomorrow. Please fill out the survey. We're also I'm going to include the link. If you would like to book a 15-minute call with me, if you'd like to book a 15-minute call or meeting, I'm going to switch back, first of all, to the contact information for Kristen and for Anna. And I'm going to find the link because my team tells me the link I'm supposed to use if I'm going to be doing a meeting right now. So if you want to book a 15-minute meeting with me, you're welcome to do that. And I would absolutely love to share whatever expertise that I can with you. Here it is. Look at that. Okay. Copy link address. All right. Here it is. If you would like to book 15 minutes with me, that is my gift to you. And I would love to hear what's going on with you and share ideas, and let's both figure out how we can help more people together. Fantastic. Keep in touch. Check out my website. Let me know how I can be of value to you if you're trying to solve a problem, looking for a way to connect with a federal buyer. Kristen, is there anything else we haven't talked about that we should? Anything else, any final words of wisdom you would like to leave with people?
I think that it's important for folks to remember what we were focusing on at the beginning about communicating regularly with their teams, both with the government and with your internal folks. If, as business leaders, remember that your employees are feeling some of the same strain too. They're part of the value that you bring to the government customer. And so making sure that you're checking in with them and reassuring them, I think, would be helpful. Be prepared to take advantage of the opportunities that are arising or that may be arising, but remember that everything that you do now quickly will be looked at when there's lots more time and will be combed through with 2020 hindsight. So be very careful in what you're doing to make sure that you've got a compliance system in place so that you can keep the profits that you might be able to make here.
Great. Anna, final words of wisdom.
I think to echo what Kristen said, keep the big picture in view as you are trying to mitigate the circumstances for your business, for your contracts, as well as for your employees right now. What do you need to do to get all your ducks in a row for Q4 and to start the next fiscal year and to keep your clients happy all along and hopefully get new ones?
Mm-hmm. You got it. I'm so honored that of all the things that are going on in the world, that so many of you took this time to be here. I encourage you to take the advice that my dad would have given me before he passed away. My dad that was many years ago, but he would say to me, be very kind to yourself. So do that. Do the things that are kind to yourself and for your team, and put the good stuff out there in the world. I would love to chat with you. And I encourage you to continue making a difference. Be some of those people that help. Be there for each other, keep checking in for each other. And remember that these things in federal spend are going to be moving to fourth quarter. Be ready now, but be ready to deal with an awful lot of things that are going to be pushed to fourth quarter as well. So with all of that, stay in touch. Be well. All right. Take care. And thank you so, so very much.
Thank you, Judy.
Okay. Bye-bye.